What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 275th episode of the Pokemon Podcast. It's super effective. I'm your host, SBJ, and with me today, I have Micah.
Hello.
I'm actually looking at you.
Carve it up.
No, wrong podcast.
Well, my bad.
Cancel. Abort. My bad. Abort.
You can find us on Podler.
Also have Will.
I'm really disturbed because Micah's wearing an AJ Styles shirt, and even though I don't care for wrestling, I certainly hate AJ Styles.
Good old AJ Styles.
You just did that to offend me.
Yeah, the earth is flat.
Yeah.
What, wait, no, I'm not even going to. Finally, we have Irene.
Hi there. I am here. I have arrived.
We're all here in my house.
In the, my house?
My house.
No,
in the middle of the streets.
That's not how the song goes.
In the middle of the streets?
Yeah.
Plural streets?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, what kind of house is this?
Motorhome.
That's a long house. That actually is a long house, I guess, a motorhome.
No.
No?
No.
How right. long?
A trailer.
Okay.
We're already off course. We got a special episode for you guys. So I'll just break it down. There's going to be no news, no Pokemon of the week. And we're just going to talk about Pokemon Go Fest. So I don't know how long we're going to talk about that, but that's going to be the whole episode. It is the morning after Pokemon Go Fest. Irene is still in her pajamas. Will is still in.
No, this is literally the clothes I'm wearing
today. Okay.
I'm in my house. I'm in my house.
In the middle of the streets.
No.
We're going to talk about Pokemon Go Fest. If you didn't go to Pokemon Go Fest, if you don't care about Pokemon Go, I would advise you not to turn off this episode. Do not change to another channel.
Oh, they will assuredly be entertained.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about. And I think even if you don't care, even if you're not the biggest Pokemon Go player, I think it's important to note that this is still a Pokemon event that was clearly, the Pokemon Company is very involved in Pokemon Go, and they care about its success and how it does and how it reflects for that company. This was kind of Pokemon's summer thing, and I believe they're not talking about Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon because of all the Pokemon Go stuff, and then now that this is dying down, we will get Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon stuff, but this is still important for Pokemon as a whole, so I think it's important to talk about. With that being said, I have a bunch of tweets that I barely remember the day yesterday, but I'm looking at the tweets and now I do remember. Myself and Irene went, Micah and your wife went.
Correct.
My mother was there, who's probably spent more time with you and Becky.
Yes.
Spoilers.
Spoilers.
We used the Patreon money to fly Will out. So Will was here. He arrived.
And I'm still here.
Second time in Chicago.
That was, yes, my second time in Chicago.
Was it better than the first?
Spoilers. I don't want to ruin it for people.
All right.
I'm not going to say.
I guess I'll start because Irene and I got there before everyone else. So
that's true.
Wait. No. I mean, in Chicago, I was there at 7 a.m.
Yeah, but you weren't at the event. You were off getting breakfast and
that's
stuff.
That's true. Okay.
Okay, well, actually, before we start, we'll start with Micah. What was your expectations of this event?
On the way down, so my wife, Becky, plays Pokemon Go with me, but she plays it with me as a means to do something with me.
Quality time.
Yes, she won't typically play on her own unless she's playing with me. The only time she's ever gone out and played Pokemon Go on her own was the day before Pokemon Go Fest when she wanted to get to level 20 just as like a milestone. So she went out, walked the dog all over, and tried to solo a 4-star raid because she didn't know how raids worked.
Perfect.
She kind of came because she wanted to see everybody. She wanted to spend time with me. And on the way down in the car, I was thanking her, and I said, I'm very grateful that you're coming, even though I know this is something you typically wouldn't want to do. I'm really excited for this, and I'm happy that you're going to be there, and I'm happy you get to meet everybody from the podcast, you know, like...
Yeah, like the community and stuff that'll be there.
And I said, I've been waiting for this event for a really long time, and I'm really excited, and there's going to be lots of cool stuff today and whatever. So that was my expectation, was it was going to be a lot of fun with new and old people, and not flawless, but pretty flawless.
Will, we talked about this a little bit on a couple episodes ago, but we talked about they're going to have cell problems and issues, and you talked about how when a bunch of students come over to Georgetown, you deploy repeaters and...
Well, not students, but like, let's say the president of the United States was going to be giving a speech at Georgetown, which happens from time to time, right?
Yeah.
We fill that room with extra capacity for wireless service in that area, which I believe they stated that that was their plan. They were going to put the sites on wheels, cells on wheels...
Meals on wheels.
No.
No meals on wheels.
My house in the middle. So what was your expectations then prior to coming? Because really, we decided to fly you out here and get you a pass like a week before the show.
A week and a half. Yeah. I mean, I was 90% like getting to see all of you guys and do Pokemon stuff, but then also like... have the perspective of somebody who's not like that hardcore Pokemon Go player. I came in at level 15, right? Kind of seeing how I could interact with everything that they were going to have that's not, because I wasn't at that high level 30s or whatever the max cap level is now, and seeing how all that stuff would have carried out for me. But yeah, I was expecting to see some Pokemons I hadn't seen before. And meet people from all over who enjoy Pokemon for different reasons.
I will say real quick, as like actual Pokemon expectations, I was like, oh, internationals all over the place, tons of legendaries.
Yeah,
that was kind of my expectation.
I mean, I was really hoping to be able to catch a Teddy Urse.
Excuse me.
It with a straight face.
Irene.
Yes.
I showed you the legendary raid trailer the night before.
You did.
We went through the list of banned items and the list of okay items, so you kind of got the...
411. That's it.
You got the 411 the night before. I mean, you've been playing Pokemon Go a lot, but what was your expectations prior to the event?
Well, I had to deal with a lot of extra Pokemon Go in the last few weeks, so that as a result got me more excited for it. I was expecting a lot of people. I was expecting everything to go well just because, like, it's the 1 year anniversary of the game. The launch had a bunch of issues, so I was like, it'll be good. It'll be smooth. Maybe we'll get a legendary. Maybe we'll get Mewtwo. Like, I was just excited to kind of just see what was there because I wasn't exactly sure what to expect.
They definitely teased Mewtwo in that trailer, did they not?
It was at the very end.
Yeah.
But the focus of the trailer was the five birds.
The birds.
And just for clarification, Mew and Celebi are not legendary Pokemon. They're mythical. So I can't imagine that as Mewtwo and Ho-Oh and the other Pokemon that weren't at the event, I can't imagine that Mew and Celebi are going to be part of that in the future.
Yeah.
Unless they start using the word mythical.
Yeah.
I mean, are they smart enough to make that distinction? It technically is a different game.
Well, the Pokemon company is involved.
Yeah.
And the Pokemon company is,
I mean, during
stuff.
That legendary trailer, it was like Niantic. It was like across a building or whatever, because they do the pan. And then it was like, the Pokemon company.
Yeah.
Summer 2017.
I was there.
Sunburned. All right, so Irene and I drove down. We left probably 6:30 in the morning.
We left at 6:09 a.m. I remember.
It's about an hour 45 minutes from Milwaukee to downtown Chicago. That's taking in consideration traffic, because once you're about 30 minutes out of Chicago, you're moving at parking lot speeds. We parked pretty easy. We parked under Grant Park. We got our media passes and... then I decided to go in to shoot the park. This is kind of the setup for the day, is my first impressions of walking into the park. I walked in about 8:30 a.m. into the park, so there was a couple other media people there, but nothing else. There was no early people, because I think the Sprint customers got in at 9, the early catch. While I was in there, the three tents, the three team stations, Valor, Instinct, and Mystic, they weren't even set up. They didn't even have the TVs plugged in. They had...
At what time was this?
This is 8:30, so a half hour before the early catch.
Whoa.
The only place that was really fully set up was the store. They had all the merchandise and everything, and they were still unboxing stuff, and they were counting cash. And I was like, okay, you guys seem like you're on track. There, the charging station wasn't set up. The main stage wasn't set up. They were still... They didn't even have the two big cameras for live streaming out in front of the stage yet. And again, this is a half hour before the event opens. And then walking through, like when I walked through, I was like, hey, where's the media tent? No one knew where it was. It was actually right next to the entrance. It was like around the corner.
Yeah.
So everyone, I was like, this thing opens in a half hour and it doesn't seem ready. On top of, Chicago was expected to get thunderstorms and rain throughout the day. That was a big thing following the week. I mean, I was checking on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, and even when we were driving in, it was drizzling, and I was like, okay, it looks like it's going to be drizzling all day. And it's funny, because the night before, Irene, we went out and we bought ponchos.
We did. They were green and red. I don't know.
We got $1.89 ponchos at Target.
And I had them all in my purse. I was prepared, ready to go.
Very ready.
Yes. Got all my banned items out. Yeah, no umbrellas.
The actual ground was just soggy and muddy, and
that's how I got the nickname Blackfoot, because I wasn't wearing real shoes.
Feet were covered in mud. What was at least cool for me is I was able to get something from the store right away, which I figured would be the hot contention point.
Wait, you used your media credential to get early access to the store.
Oh, yeah.
You are the lowest kind of human.
You didn't buy me anything. What the heck?
Well, there was nothing really.
What did you buy?
I bought a Mystic shirt because I, not the, okay, here's
when
the thing.
When did you buy?
No.
Okay.
Here's the thing.
The stuff that's going to sell out fast that he's going to sell on eBay for four times the price.
The stuff I sell on eBay pays for this podcast.
Exactly.
I like buying stuff that, first off, I hate buying shirts because, one, I don't want to pay $28 for a shirt, but that's how much the shirt was and that's how much I paid.
And they're never slim fit. I don't know if that's important.
Yeah, they're never slim fit, and I like a good slim fit t-shirt. I wear hoodies consistently, so there's no point in me buying shirts with things on them because no one ever sees them. For me, I wanted to buy the shirt because I figured the shirt was only at the event, and at least if it's hanging in my closet, I can go, oh, that was a day. That happened.
That happened.
It certainly did happen.
That was my thought with the shirt, too. I think they're probably only going to sell it here. I might as well. But nothing else there was enticing to me.
Two tidbits from buying the shirt, because I also bought a Magikarp Mega Block thing that they had, which actually wasn't advertised.
What?
They had weird Legos.
By the time that I got to the store, everything on that board was covered in black tape.
Okay, perfect.
Aside from the shirts and I think a Bulbasaur pop socket.
Yeah, I wanted $17. So
what's they
sad.
Were $17. It's the little disc you
they're
put on the back.
Really like $10
that pops out, so it's like a handlebar.
Pretty cool.
By the time I got to the store, it was literally one Team Instinct 2XL t-shirt and a Pikachu hat.
That Pikachu hat. They called them 3D. Pikachu hats.
Because the ears came out.
Yeah, because they had ears.
When I went to buy the shirt, this isn't that great of a story. When I went to buy the shirt, I was like, hey, I'll take a Team Mystic shirt. And the guy was like, I don't know what that means. And I was like, I want the blue one. It was like, oh, okay. And then I was like, let me get that Magikarp Mega Block thing. And he was like, you're gonna have to help me out here.
Oh,
I was like,
wow.
The one that looks like the orange fish. Can I get that?
So what was that? Like Mega Blocks like the Legos?
Yeah,
is it like the Farfetched thing?
No, it's not.
I'm
gonna be honest. I haven't even looked at it. I bought it. It was $8. I threw it in my bag.
Okay.
when I got back to my car, I threw it in the trunk of my car. It's probably still in my car. I haven't looked. Right at 9 o'clock when the first wave opened up, these were the people that went out to sprint and got a specific wristband. Oh, I didn't say the line to get in.
There were two lines.
There's always two.
Always two lines.
No one ever tells you which line you're supposed to be in or which line you should be in.
I got a story for that.
So what we talked about, Will, that most of the reasons that most of these things were probably on the ban list was to get people in faster. We didn't want like a PAX East situation where people... I don't know if we told you this, Michael, but at PAX East, it was almost like an hour to 2 hours to get in, and it was 14 degrees out. Because everyone had to go through. This is every single day.
Good times.
This is where Will adopted the policy of I don't do lines.
So if you didn't bring a bag to PAX East, you got in instantly.
Oh, okay.
Well, we got in easy too.
We had media passes, which worked here too. I don't know why you guys are so
early in the day. The same thing was the case. If you didn't have a bag, they let you in right away.
Yep.
For Pokemon Go?
Yeah.
Yep. There was a line, separate lines
for people who didn't have bags.
But people had lined up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, you could line up as early as 6. There was no metal detectors, but they did have the swipe. Weep, weep, weep.
Did they really?
Yeah.
They didn't have it when I was there.
Oh, they used it on me twice when I was going in and out.
Oh, really?
Oh, I didn't.
Maybe
they gave up
on it at some point.
Maybe.
I think so. I was surprised that they had a physician. Like, literally somebody checking that the pills in bottles matched the pill label.
Oh, wait, really? Didn't have that when I was there either.
Well, no. He was there.
Well, when we went in, and the lady was like, medic, and he came and he looked, and I had a prescription medication, and I had just like Advil or something. And except I think I used an old pill bottle for something else I was prescribed. And the medic just like looked inside and he was like, and then he just put it back in my purse. And I was like, but they don't match the label. Like, they're both given to me, but like, that's not.
I'm sure the medic knows, like, these are the pills I need to look out for.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think honestly what they were doing was looking for any kind of drugs that would be used as, you know, even prescription drugs, contraband, or I mean, overall, they were looking to prevent any kind of alcohol or illegal substances, like mind altering recreational drugs.
Yes. Yeah.
Not successful.
Not successful.
Okay. So,
as evidenced by our trip to the bathroom.
Obviously, people listening to this probably saw all my tweets on Twitter. They probably saw everyone else's tweets on Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, there was a man with the goat.
There was.
No, that
we
was
don't
outside.
Need to talk about the man with the goat.
Oh, okay.
The whole show was a disaster.
No, don't give it away. Don't give it away. Hold it out.
It's been like 2 days since the show happens. Well, but when this goes up, I expected there to be a line and for that line to, you know, you're back in line, you might wait 30 to 45 minutes to get in.
Can I talk about my line experience since, of the four of us, I was the only one that had to stand in line?
Because you didn't get media passes?
Correct.
Yeah. You didn't use your The Carve credential to get a media pass?
Yeah, they originally only gave me one media pass, and when I got there, they were like, oh, we can give you two more. So I gave it to Will and Irene. Before they started letting people in, though, so you were in the wrong line.
Correct. There was no sign or any kind of information for what line was what.
You didn't see that like everyone had yellow wristbands?
Nope, because we saw a line of people that was moving and we went to the end of it or what looked like the end of it and got in line. As the line, it was just a stream of people walking. It never stopped at any point.
You wouldn't have noticed unless
you guys knew, because I feel like I thought I said something about the two lines.
Nope. We had no idea. We didn't know there were two lines at all.
I didn't know there was two lines.
Yeah, there was one that was on the left, which was the early entry one.
Which is the one
right
we walked
at the
by.
Corner. Yep.
The early entry one was the one that Becky and I got in line for.
Yeah. There was someone right at the corner where he would turn to head towards the entrance, that last block, that was checking people in their wrists.
That was the only instance of anybody saying that this line was specifically for people who had wristbands. And it wasn't until you were maybe like 500 feet from the entrance or whatever. So it wasn't until we got to like close to that point that the guy behind us in line said, you cut in line. And we went, but how? We got in line where it nobody else was behind us, and he said, "You don't have wristbands," and we said, "Wristbands for what?" And he said, "This is the early access.
Yeah,
the other line is on the other side of the park."
So you got out of line.
Now we know.
Yep,
we did.
So, why didn't you just stay in and see what happened?
Oh, no, but they weren't letting...
We looked around and saw that everybody had wristbands.
Yeah, but if you're already midway turning
that corner, the person who was standing there telling people they needed wristbands was also taking people out of line.
Oh, okay, got it.
So they would have gotten taken out of line like 2 minutes later.
It wouldn't have mattered.
I feel like if one or two people without wristbands just happened to wait in that line for 45 minutes till they get up, I would be like, just go in.
But that's you.
You've wasted 45 minutes already.
No, they were not super willing to let people get away with things.
Yeah. And what they really needed was just somebody official walking past the line just saying, extra wristbands only, sprint customers only, just to let people know. Because I'm sure you guys weren't the only ones who made that mistake.
Because when we got to that point and they said you have to go to the other line, we went all the way across the other side of the park, and that was the real line. That was the line for people who were not early access.
And you're saying that, I know the answer, that line was probably three times longer.
It was zigzagging in multiple angles to the point that it just looked like a mass of people. There were easily, they said 20,000 people showed up yesterday.
Yeah.
That was easily 19,000 of the people.
Right,
easily.
I can't imagine that the sprint promotion, which was Friday night.
And Thursday.
Thursday and Friday night, I can't imagine they handed out over 1,000 wristbands seems fine. Yeah.
So when we got in line, probably already at that point, 10 to 12,000 people in front of us.
When I walked into the park before everyone, they said, come back for your QR code. We're not giving them out right now. And I said, okay. They said, just come back at 9 o'clock. Come back anyways because we want all the media people here just so we can give them a rundown of the show.
Yeah.
I said, okay, cool. Come back. I don't know what the QR code is for. But there were stops inside the park that had a Pokemon Go logo above them. It said like Chicago Fest or something.
Yeah, it was like yellow instead of the picture of the whatever it was. Yeah.
And I didn't think of it because I had a game plan. I had everything. I had the ponchos. I had battery packs. I had my camera. I had my recorder. I knew going into this event what I was going to do, when I was going to do it, and how I was going to do it. When I walked in, I didn't think to swipe any of those stops because if you pop a lucky egg and then swipe the stop, you get double and it's the first time you're swiping it. So it's worth five. Or it's worth 250 instead of 50, and then with the lucky egg, it's 500. So I was going to maximize and pop the lucky egg and then hit all, I think there was like 14 unique stops in there.
Yeah.
So I didn't think of swiping it. But when you did go and swipe it the first time, it asked to scan a unique QR code, which I found out after 9 o'clock. But when I was in the park, I did get my QR code a little bit early, and then I scanned it, and then right away, there was a Heracross, and I was like, oh, cool, because when Irene and I were walking past the line, somebody was like, hey, they were talking to each other, not to us, but they were like, hey, did you see the Heracross? There's a Heracross, but that, in retrospect, that doesn't make sense, because I thought you could only see Heracross when you
scanned the QR code.
Because when we were in that line, I could see spawns inside the park. But you couldn't swipe the stops. Even though you could be in range of the stops outside of the park, you couldn't swipe them at all.
Because you had to
have the QR code in order to swipe.
So they did change it halfway through, but technically Heracross was only spawning within the gates. So you didn't need the QR code.
I didn't see Heracross. I would see normals like Pidgey and whatever. I saw Snubble. A Mankey at one point.
So then once you swiped the stop, all the logos above went away.
No.
No, they were still up.
No, for me, they were all gone instantly. So that's where I think the server issues came in. Because when I swiped the stop, all the logos went away instantly. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. It looks like it's all... because I originally thought, oh, I have to scan the QR code per each stop. That's kind of a hassle, but I get it because they want to lock these inside the park for the players and prevent spoofers from showing up and doing their thing. They started letting the sprint people in, and they let them in fast. Like, it went from zero people in the park to what seemed to be like 700 to 800 people.
Yeah.
Pretty instantly. And that's when, like, everyone kind of spread out. It was either they went right to the sprint kiosk, because there was a sprint kiosk where if you showed them what level you were, they would give you actual, like, patch that you would put on your denim jean jacket, iron that on.
There was no one there with a denim jean jacket, folks.
I was pretty hot. Close, I
yeah,
guess.
Yeah, you were way overdressed. But
so that line was out of control right away. There was a Boost mobile truck kiosk that was selling batteries. That filled up instantly, and people were buying batteries right away.
Boost, a subsidiary of Sprint.
I believe they were also selling phones, were they not?
Yes. I have a story about that, too. And then most of the other people went to their designated tents. So when they did finally get the tent set up, it was probably like 15 picnic tables in each tent, and then 3 to 4 TVs, and then a mini concession stand in the back that sold a couple things.
And like they had those banana loungers, too.
Oh, yeah, they had the giant bean bags?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the concession stands only sold beverages.
In the tents.
Yes.
So everyone kind of spread out, and then there was this weird middle of the park that was empty, and it kind of made sense, too, because the ground was so muddy still. And the first thing that happened, it was like 9:15, 9:20. So most of the Sprint customers are in. Somebody yells, "Unknown!" Just people running. I haven't seen people run for a Pokemon since the first week of the game.
Yeah.
And so people are just sprinting to the spot, and it was actually over by the media tent. And sure enough, there was an Unknown there, and I caught it, and everything seemed to be fine. And then about 10 minutes later, no one could connect. But it didn't seem like they let in more people, because the rest of the people didn't get in until 10.
Yeah.
The story of the cursed Unown.
The media tent had like media Wi-Fi, where once you got in the tent, there was like a password written on like a piece of paper above the free water.
Oh, guess what? That media Wi-Fi didn't work.
It was trash.
I don't think it worked all day.
Absolute trash.
So I'm on AT&T. What are you on, Will?
AT&T.
Irene?
Sprint.
AT&T.
Okay.
Get wrecked, Sprint.
If you're an AT&T customer, so this is what I don't understand. These parks were most of the part built and sponsored by AT&T's money.
Are you sure? Like not just Millennium Park?
But it's all part of it?
No, like, Millennium Park's next door.
The Millennium Park garage is also, it says like Millennium Park Grant North, Millennium Park Grant South.
Yeah, but they can put a sign on anything.
I guess.
They can put a sign.
But either way, even if Grant Park wasn't AT&T's park,
yes,
the park across the street with the giant silver bean was paid for by AT&T. Yes.
There's also right next to that park is a massive AT&T tower.
I have a conspiracy starting to form in my head that AT&T was a little twisted, that Sprint is like getting all the attention on this particular event, and they're like, we're going to take our toys and go home. Enjoy your Pokemon Go Fest, folks.
I don't know where the AT&T Wi-Fi was, but you know, you go to Starbucks or an AT&T store, or if you're in the mall, it'll say AT&T Wi-Fi, and if you're an AT&T customer, you instantly connect to it, and you get free Wi-Fi. You don't have to do anything. Irene, does Sprint have something like that, where if you walk into a Sprint store, you connect to their Wi-Fi for free, no issues, you just...
I have absolutely no idea. Okay. Like, I know.
I can actually tell you exactly the spots in the park that the AT&T Wi-Fi worked. And it was mostly every corner, back corner of the event.
Well, around the edge, like edge parts. And
by the media tent, there was pretty good AT&T Wi-Fi. But
did you notice, because we were standing by the media tent the entire time, that the spawns were ultimately the same and happened at the same time? I noticed this throughout the day because I didn't have much else to look at, but it was always a Machamp. Machamp. Machamp.
My wife called a Machamp Manchomp at one point.
There was always a Manchomp.
Yep.
A Snubbull. And like one other pretty common Pokemon. And then
Teddy Ursa.
It always, three popped at the same time near the main stage, which the media tent was behind the main stage. So all those kind of popped at the same time. And then like once an hour, or now maybe once every half hour, it was a like a Scyther popped up or a Larvitar.
Saw a couple Scyther.
I didn't see a Larvitar.
I didn't see any Larvitar.
But there I couldn't catch it.
When Irene and I got our first unknowns, we were in the media area.
No, we weren't. We got our first unknowns when we were over in the corner.
Are you sure?
Yes.
That's not how I remember it.
No, we were in the corner over by, because I went to the restroom, and then we crossed over, and we were over in the shaded
Give me a restroom update.
What about them? They're porta potties.
All right.
So I will give a lot of credit to everyone who attended Pokemon Go Fest, but they did not trash the porta potties. They actually, like, they were pretty decent throughout the day. I used them multiple times throughout the day. I also am very happy. There is an option that you can get with your porta potty order to have a portable hand washing station, which some people didn't know, understand that you pump a pump with your foot and actual water comes out of a sink and you can wash your hands with soap and water. Yeah. And they had those, which is really nice.
Yeah, they did.
But did people use those?
Yes.
But yeah, no. Mike, the unknown was in the corner. And then later on, we went back to the media. Yeah.
Okay.
So, Mikey, you got in the other line.
Yes.
This was another thing. Maybe it was just my phone, but I called multiple. Like, I called Irene. I called you. I called my mom. I think I called Will a couple times. And most of the conversations were, hello? Hello? Hello?
We had a conversation at one point while I was in line for maybe 5 minutes, and I heard you for the first like two of it without issue, and then it was nonstop cutting in and out. I was like struggling to hear what you're saying.
And that was throughout the day where I couldn't even make a phone call unless I was connected to the AT&T Wi-Fi, which was only like a 50 square foot radius outside the media tent. And when did you actually walk through the doors of the park?
We walked into the park at about 12:45. We were in line for almost 3 hours.
And you didn't get the whoop, whoop, the beeping?
Nope. They were rushing people through. They barely looked at my bag. They didn't find the medication that I had in there.
Nice.
They barely looked in Becky's purse. They just opened it, moved my hoodie around, and went, all right, whatever, and gave it back to me and said, go ahead. And I went through.
So for the 2 hours and 45 minutes you were in line, because we talked a couple times. So I called you at least probably two to three times during that.
Yeah. And I was texting. I tried to draw diagrams of where I was.
I couldn't tell the difference between your diagram and a ziggurat. That's how confusing it was.
That's pretty much what it was.
Every conversation was with you, Micah, was nothing is working.
Yeah.
You could, and I can't catch anything.
It's like you were in some alternate dimension.
I felt my mom was actually with you guys too.
Yeah.
I felt terrible because you guys were in line, but at the same time, we were doing nothing inside.
Yeah, there was
We met some amazing people in line. There were two girls behind us from Colorado that flew from Colorado to be here. And there was a guy from Peoria, Illinois, who was with us. And we spent the whole time in line chatting with them and joking. They were super nice. They were super fun. One of the girls from Colorado had like the best attitude about everything that was happening. Just like really positive perspective. And it really significantly helped waiting in line for 3 hours. But one of the jokes was I was updating them as you were updating me. I was getting all the insider info on what was
sweet
going
info.
On, including some things that you haven't talked about.
This guy runs a Pokemon podcast.
At one point, I told them nobody inside has any service. And we were at the point where these lines were zigzagging. And anytime we went around a bend, that was like a milestone. So we were all like, we made it around another bend. And we were like, we did it. And so then when we got to the end and it started to just be a straight line straight to the park, they were like, oh, we don't have any more bends. Now it's just a boring walk. And I said, it's okay. When we get inside, we won't have service. And they went,
another milestone.
And they said, I kind of just want to stay in line then because we have service out here and we can just keep talking and have a good time. And we don't have to worry about it.
Oh, that's what's such a nice face
that
on
is
it.
Really, really cute.
It was great. And then we got inside, and that was it.
And you never
that
saw
was the
them
end of the
again.
Day.
Never again.
What we'll do is we'll take a quick break, And when we come back, we'll talk about John Hankey coming out on stage and pretty much the day ending at that point.
Yep.
So we'll be right back.
Leg tubes.
Leg tube.
Leg tubes.
Tube.
Leg tubes.
Leg tube.
Leg tubes.
Tube warmers. Socks. Socks.
The phrase leg tube might be
good, right?
The phrase leg tube might be
leg tubes.
Leg tube.
Leg tubes.
Tube.
Leg tubes.
Leg tube.
Leg tubes.
Tube warmers.
Well, then they're just leg tubes, I guess.
Yeah.
And we are back from our break. Let's talk about why we know Micah spent most of the day in line, but
let me add that it was in direct sunlight the entire time, and my forehead is completely burnt.
Yes, I'm
Becky
looking at it.
Is my wife is already super pale. She was completely roasted by the time we got home last night, like two-tone roasted.
Like sick burns roasted?
Sick
like
burns.
She could barely lay in bed because it hurt so much.
Oh, no. I was completely fine.
Now, the reason that we got so sunburned, though, is because one of the rules, one of the prohibited items was specifically that you couldn't bring sunburn into the park.
Sunscreen.
Or sunscreen into the park. You could bring plenty of sunburn in, as we did. You couldn't bring sunscreen in unless it was sealed. If we opened the sunscreen prior to getting into the park,
we
had to just throw it out.
Yup.
If we were smart, we would have brought two sunscreen, one to open in line, use, and then throw away, and one to bring in that was sealed.
Yes.
But we're not smart.
Yeah.
We're sunburned.
And I also want to add a little color, because I know what Steve wants to talk about next, that I didn't have a lot of problems connecting and staying connected when I was inside, and I didn't talk to a lot of you guys at that point. So
well,
what comes next came as a little bit of a surprise to me.
So there were definitely people in the park playing.
Like me.
The entire time. And I don't know if they were playing consistently the entire time, because there was at a point, Will, that you had issues.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I put my cheat on that helped tremendously.
Because you VPN'd out.
Correct.
I wonder if more, a lot like the people that were playing consistently like you also did that. Irene, I didn't pay attention to any of these. But there were the challenge events throughout the day. Do you remember when the first one started?
First one started at 11 o'clock.
Correct.
Prior to this, the main stage, I think about 10:15-ish, called everyone over. They were like, everyone gather around the main stage so we can kick off Pokemon Go Fest. And at this point, I'm telling Micah, and Micah's still online, and he's like, I'm going to miss the first challenge.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I don't know if there's going to be a first challenge, because unless they fix this in 45 minutes, all these players cannot connect.
And when you said that, I thought you meant there's not enough people in the park yet to, because like I was not aware of these other issues. And I was like, there's not enough people in here to meet the challenge at this point.
The first time I noticed issues was actually after during the main stage intro, because there were technical difficulties with the screens and their sound and all of that stuff when they were trying to come out and be like, hey, everyone, the screen was flickering and then it wasn't matching up.
We're playing some bumping music.
And no, and he was trying to, and the lady was our DJ. And it was just like,
actually,
like it was just like not working.
If anybody wants to go on my Instagram, one of my Instagram posts was the sick Chicago house beats, and it's about 2 minutes of the music we got to enjoy while we were waiting.
I liked it. It wasn't bad.
No, the DJ didn't play bad music. The first woman came out, and I apologize, I don't know her name. I looked her up prior, because they announced the three women and then Mystic Seven, and I know two of those females were professional commentators for some esports stuff, and then The third one was a really big Pokemon. Like, she was super into Pokemon Go. And then the fourth person was Mystic Seven. They brought out one of them.
I think it was Lindsay, maybe. I don't know.
To be fair, I didn't know any of these people. I barely knew who Mystic Seven was.
Same.
Irene, do you want to describe what the crowd did when... we'll call her Lindsay. When Lindsay came out.
Let me ask first. When she came out, did they cut those sick beats?
Yes.
No more sick beats?
Yeah, it was...
That's unfortunate.
I think it might have been an undercurrent, not like as loud, but yeah, or did they cut it completely? Well, I wasn't really having any issues up until, like I was saying, when the intro came from the main stage. She was trying to get everyone pumped up and she was like, "Is everyone ready for Pokemon Go Fest?" And it was just like, boo!
No. The big boo did not start yet.
Well, they were like, fix the game.
They did boo her, but they were chanting, fix the servers! Fix the servers!
Because at some point she was like, let's give it up for Niantic. And I think that was when
that was the big boo.
Because they were like, fix the game! We can't play! Boo!
And
like,
I was so confused.
And I was just like, what is happening? Like, I don't understand.
You know, she stuck to her script, and none of this is her fault or any of the other presenters' fault. I'd actually be curious to watch that Twitch stream now and, like, see in retrospect what happened, because I heard that the Twitch stream was also just a disaster.
So what I heard from people around the world, like, literally, as it was going on, people were messaging me, and they're like, we don't understand what's happening, but it doesn't look that bad. What's going on? Right? So
there's a difference in it doesn't outwardly look like there are problems as much as there probably were, and what you're saying in that it wasn't enjoyable to watch. Is that what people were saying?
Oh, because I got, like, it looks like everybody's having so much fun.
Oh.
I didn't see any of it,
but you're saying that people said it wasn't like an enjoyable thing to watch?
Yeah, I think even Joe from Cerebee was like, this stream is a disaster, and some other people said that. I was trying to chat throughout the day, but they were pretty much chanting like, fix the servers, nothing's working, we can't play was another chant.
Yeah.
And they did this throughout Lindsay's entire script.
I hope her name was Lindsay.
Well, it is now. Like, very professional for her to, you know, power through that, stick to the script, do what she needed to, but it was a lost cause. Like, they didn't want to hear any of what she was saying. No one.
Oh, no.
No one did. No one was listening. No one was excited. She was trying to. If the game was working, that script probably would have went over really well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then she introduced John Hankey, which is the CEO of Niantic, person directly in charge of Pokemon Go and Ingress. He came out to booze.
Oh.
Yep. That was the big one. I was mistaken earlier.
I had heard, too, from someone who was watching the stream that they saw that people also at least... one or two instances of people throwing stuff.
Yeah,
that's
terrible.
Which is not cool.
I didn't see that. I was filming it the entire time, so I was kind of looking at my camera screen, not the audience. I didn't see that, but he opened with thanking everyone for coming, and then more boos followed and more we can't play.
Yep.
And then he said, we know that we're having issues with our carriers, and we know we're having issues with the game. Niantic is working really hard to fix the game, and we're working really hard with carriers to fix the servers so you guys can play. And that was like the first cheer.
Yeah.
Of just acknowledging it really put a lot of people at ease of like, okay, cool. You know, we just got in, the day's just starting, but what he said, and I think rang very true to how the whole day should have been. He said, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. Don't worry, like, you'll be able to catch all the rare Pokemon. There'll be plenty of spawns. I think he mentioned Heracross. He's like, if you missed Heracross, Heracross will be out throughout the day. And I was like, this feels real. This doesn't feel like a script. This, like, you were coming out anyways to say something.
Yeah.
But it seemed like you adjusted and just kind of talked on the fly of like, hey, we know there's server issues. We're fixing it. Don't worry. Today will be really fun. Even if, like, to me at this point in time, I'm thinking, okay, it might take them an hour or two to get the game. But even if they get it fixed by one, that's still 6 hours of playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We find out that actually doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And finally, so Micah got in. Everyone else got in. There was no line to get in anymore.
Correct.
Maybe 400 feet from the gate, from the entrance, lost service. Like, we didn't even get in, and we already didn't have service.
There you go.
Once everyone was in, the overall feel of the park didn't feel crowded.
No.
It felt like the amount of people they reserved and the park size they reserved felt comfortable. And another thing that when John Hankey came out, he said, you know, we were expecting rain all week. And so far, it's showing to be a beautiful day. And it was, at that moment, beautiful. And then about 10 minutes later, it just turned into like a heat wave.
Yeah.
Significant.
But also, the thing that I noted when Micah finally got in was the line to get out was...
Yes.
Wow. Not only the line to get out, but also the line to the information booth with... It was super long, and all people who had their QR codes in their hands and looked very frustrated.
This is jumping a little ahead, but when in the media tent, when we were talking to the producer, who was probably extremely communicative, he was like, I don't care if you record me. I don't care if you write down what I say. We're giving you the information to communicate with your fan bases or with other people. Like, that's why you guys are here, to communicate our message.
Yeah.
He said less than 4% of people actually had QR code issues.
Okay.
Wait. Is that what he said?
Yes.
He was a real soft talker. And there were some people behind me who were talking loud. So I did miss some points. But also, we should explain to people who weren't there. The QR code, basically what happened is when you got into the park, you would go to one of those special Pokestops, spin it, it opened up a QR scanner in Pokemon Go app. When you scanned your QR code...
Or typed it in.
Or typed in the number, sure. That is what basically turned on Pokemon Go Fest in your app and made you able to see all the special stuff that was happening inside the park so that people who were just walking around outside the park didn't see the special spawns or anything like that because they hadn't registered the QR code. So I know a lot of people were aggravated because they're like, I'm in, but I'm still not able to do Pokemon Go Fest because I can't even spin a Pokestop and scan my QR code.
I think, though,
your mom actually had
my
some
mom,
significant
my mom
QR
couldn't
code
scan
issues.
It at all. I think, though, overall, the QR code was a smart system.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. If it had worked,
if it was
like
flawless,
the perfect thing to do.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think less than 4% is pretty okay.
I mean, I'm sure
most of those people...
It's not so much the issue that you couldn't scan the QR code. It's that you couldn't get into the game
service to
scan the QR code.
Yeah, because there was a point where I couldn't even launch the game anymore.
Yep.
And I couldn't even tell if it was like, okay, I'm on AT&T Wi-Fi. It's been working all day. Why isn't it working now?
I feel so bad for you guys.
I don't even remember the first challenge, because as soon as John Hankey got off stage, because he kicked off like, get ready for the first challenge, and I think he kind of explained what it was about, everyone kind of walked away from that stage of like, we'll try.
All right. So like the first challenge was to catch as many normal, rock, electric, grass, fire, and water Pokemon as possible.
But that was the whole challenge.
That was the first challenge.
I think they originally were all supposed to be different, but because of the issues, they just kept it the same.
Oh.
And there was a meter that you were supposed on the screen on the stage, and you were supposed
and they were
to,
also in the tents. If you walked into the tent, the meters were there too.
But also, which I don't know if this is jumping ahead, but they also had LED screens like in front outside of each of the tents. I don't know if you noticed because they didn't turn them on, but I think those were supposed to track like how well each of the teams were doing for everybody to see.
I see.
And like the meters would show, oh, you know, Team Instinct has caught the most fire Pokemon and is leading this
challenge. At one point before you guys got, when it was only like Sprint early customers got in, inside the tents there were meters and there were leaderboards of being like, Pitbull Dog Mom has hatched the most eggs on Instinct.
Oh, I saw
Dog Mom.
I saw a guy who had won a bunch of medals, and like literally, he had 5 medals at the Team Instinct tent for being like the Team Instinct player who caught the most fire Pokemon and like different things like that.
Really?
Which is like becomes really dubious when it's like nobody else could play anyways. Right. But also, one thing of just about the setup that I wanted to say was, I was very impressed with how they did the physical setup, like the tents themselves, the equipment they brought, the like little Pokestop models that they set up. And none of it looked cheap.
No.
Right? It looked like they had really put a lot into that physical structure.
And they had
worthwhile.
Huge like photo stations where it was like a phone and the screen was like
glass.
Clear, like clear glass. With an overlay of like a Snorlax or something, and you could stand behind it and get a picture so it looked like you were in the phone.
There's a picture of me with a Cyndaquil in one of those.
That's pretty good. I wanted to ask anybody that was playing before we got in and we couldn't get any service, there were specific stations throughout the entire park where it was like, this is the symbol for rock Pokemon. This is the symbol for electric type.
Yeah.
Was that supposed to be like specific, like rock Pokemon would spawn there?
I think so.
Electric Pokemon would spawn there?
I don't think that ever activated.
I think so, because what I was saying earlier, that by the media tent, we were getting the same Pokemon.
Yeah.
Like Manchomp.
Manchomp and Teddy Ursa.
Teddy Ursa and Snubbull. But if I wanted different Pokemon, I would, before the servers went down, if I walked to a different end of the park, I was seeing different Pokemon.
Yeah.
So I think it was designed to set up like you're always going to get at least Magikarp here. You're always going to get at least Geodude here, which is really nice for people who, hey, I've never seen a Geodude. I know at this end of the park, this is where the Geodude are. I can go get them. And my phone doesn't connect now, so never mind.
Yeah. Never at any point until a little bit later did I have service, really. I had it for maybe just a moment when we got in. We were by the media tent. I was able to catch a Heracross. And from that point forward, it was impossible for me to get service at all.
I would say the worst was your wife, who couldn't get on the game to open.
It crashed
constantly. She had to re-download the app.
Dude, she had to use my phone.
And
my
it
extra
still didn't
phone.
Work. It still was crashing so constantly. She would get in, find a Pokemon, throw a Pokeball, and it would just crash. Even before that happened, sometimes, she would just get into the game, tap something, and it would crash.
I left mid first challenge. Because I looked at the leaderboard and the bars weren't moving.
Nope.
Yeah.
And no one had any enthusiasm to complete the challenge, mostly because they couldn't connect. So I left. I went back to my car. I got my computer. And I was like, I'm just going to upload the video of John Hankey coming out on stage, because people were asking specifically for that. And I wanted to, this is the first time I was using this video camera, so I was like, well, if I'm going to continue using this video camera, I might as well look. So I walked to my car, got my computer, went to a Starbucks, I tethered my phone, I quickly edited a 2-minute video. It was like chop, attempt to edit sound, because the oons, 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 oons just like destroyed everything sound-wise. And so I quickly uploaded it, and then while I was there at the Starbucks, there was a bunch of people with wristbands, the Pokemon Go wristbands. And so while I was waiting for the upload, somebody asked me what I was doing, because they saw all this equipment out on the Starbucks table. And I was like, oh, I'm just uploading some video of the Pokemon Go event. And they're like, oh, are you a reporter? And I was like, no, I just do a podcast. And then I had to explain what a podcast was. But these two older women came in, and they were also talking to me, and they had the Go Fest, and I was like, "Oh, did you guys have any luck at the fest?" And they were like, "No, not at all. This is terrible." And I was like, "Oh, that's a bummer." They were like, "We flew all the way from California to come. Like, we love Pokemon Go." And I was like, "Oh, that's really cool." And I noticed they had four phones, and they were like, we're on AT&T. I asked, I was like, "What service provider are you?" Because I'm on AT&T. They were like, "We're on AT&T. We couldn't connect." And I was like, "Oh, yep, 100% the same." And they said, "We walked over to the Sprint store and bought Sprint phones because they were $100. And we want to make the most of this event. So another $100 isn't that big of a deal because we already spent like $1,000 to get here."
Yeah.
And Sprint assured us that we would be able to play on Sprint because they're a sponsor of the event and they have everything taken care of. And so they bought Sprint phones with Sprint phone numbers to log in. And they were like, we can't even log in. Sprint doesn't work either.
Wow.
Sheesh. That's rough.
But as I said multiple times throughout the day, right? Like, I know what a cell on wheels, a site on wheels looks like because I have brought them into Georgetown. And I did not see a single one on the outside of the park or on the inside of the park. So they were not doing anything to augment signal.
At one point, though, I pointed at...
That's where they... I went and looked at them. Those mm-hmm. were bolted into the ground. It's where they, like, hang lights and sound equipment for the stage. So
they looked like portable towers or whatever, but I guess they weren't.
When I was walking back, so many people were just pouring out of the park, leaving. And it's only 1 o'clock now?
Yeah.
About. Get back into the park. And what you guys said earlier, there's zero line to get into the park, and there's a mile-long line to get out of the park because mm-hmm. they need to deactivate your wristband properly
so that
you can get back in.
So people understand there was an NFC chip in every wristband that you had to, like, place against a reader when you walked in, and it bleeped green so they knew you were in there. You had to do the same thing when you walked out, or you could not get back in.
Which I don't understand why, but when we left, they also stamped your hand?
Yeah, because all the technology was failing.
Oh, you know what? I actually know why. I didn't even think about it. When we came back in and they scanned us to get back in, there were people still there with the QR codes handing them out. And one guy walked up and said, "I'll take a QR code." And the guy handing them out said, I see the stamp on your hand. You're not getting another one.
Wow.
That makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. That's actually really smart. It's like, this is the bump. This is the disappointing thing about the event. Almost everything was pretty well thought out. Getting in, how the park was set up, where to go, like the stage. Irene, did you see even Mystic 7 come out on stage? I mean, I was gone for like 2 hours, but that was the big celebrity there.
No, not from what I could see. I don't think so.
But we saw him at the introductions.
Yeah, but... So the only people that were out on the stage itself, because I think they did
I felt like no one came out on stage ever.
But the only people that I saw on stage was John Hankey and Lindsay.
Yeah. Good old Lindsay.
Oh, that video we saw. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
It's very clear that Niantic loves their Pokemon Go YouTubers. Because everyone there was a Pokemon Go YouTuber.
In the media area. Yeah. We saw lots of YouTubers.
Yeah, and we saw it wouldn't be an episode of It Super Effective without mentioning Allegra Franks.
Yes. Wow, she's so incredible in person. I couldn't speak. I was in awe.
She was really nice, but we talked with her for a bit. She wants to be back on the show, so that's very exciting. Everyone in media was really nice. I met Trainer Tips, Nick, really great. Got like a 5-10 minute interview with him that will be on a separate podcast. I shouldn't say that because I haven't listened to the audio, so I don't know how.
So just to mention Trainer Tips, because I don't think you were around to see this, but Irene, I think you were with me. It's like they were doing like the second big everybody come to the concert platform and we're going to do an announcement. And they're like, and we're going to show this video from Trainer Tips. And it started to play and the video was fine and the audio was incredibly distorted. So they only got to play about a minute and a half of it, and they stopped it.
It was really
bad. Oh, weird. And I didn't see it, but I could hear the audio. But at some point, I guess they fixed it because they played the entire thing.
All right, I didn't see that. But I was just thinking, like, because I do these kinds of events, right? And AV is always so tricky. And I'm just amazed that they did not have that on 100% lockdown, that could not go wrong the way that it did. Because that was just like, everybody was so excited. We're going to have a Trainer Tips video. Trainer Tips is here. And then it was like plane crash when it came up.
It was, I believe, a video about competitive gym battling was the...
Oh, okay.
I think when they played it actually was when we were split up. And because I remember hearing the audio for it, but we weren't over by the area at that time. So when they replayed it, like, I think I heard some of the audio and I was thinking that we should go back, but then it was kind of like, whatever, I'd rather go to the bathroom, so.
Irene, you were probably in the park more than, at one point, I thought you guys were all had it working, because I was like, where is everyone? And you said you were at stop 8 or something on the, there's like, inside the park, there was the main stage with the three tents, and then there was like this open field of muddy grass, and then there was like this more beautiful park on the other side. It's where like the street divided.
Yeah.
And so you guys were over there, and I was like, oh, cool. It sounds like things are working now, because it's, what was that, 2 o'clock? And yeah, so I walked over there. I couldn't find you, but did you guys walk and hit all those stops and actually catch Pokemon at that point?
It was so in and out. I think the best service I ended up getting was actually after we left for the day. But at that time, for me, it was working fine. I was able to catch an unknown at some point when we were over there in that corner.
Did you want to, speaking of unknown, did you want to tell them what the unknown spelled or like what kind of unknowns there were? Irene's counting with her fingers right now.
I think there were 5.
6.
6. There six. Are 6. I don't know how to spell. they had a C, an H, an I, a G, an A, and an O.
And it's spelled?
Chicago. Whoa.
But you needed another C.
Yeah.
I've got 2 C's.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think all of us, I'm looking away from Steve. I think all of us got all the available letters.
I could spell Chicago like 3 times except for O.
I love this look on his face right now.
I'm so mad. It's like we didn't realize it spelled Chicago until I realized it as I was leaving for the day.
Yeah.
When I was still in the media tent, we were all talking about the unknowns we caught, and then it was like, oh, I think it spells Chicago.
And because so, at some point, people were saying, oh, I caught a Z, but it was actually just a G.
Yes.
And I was confused because I caught a C, and Irene told me it was an E. So I was like, no, I have an E.
No, it was a C. Sorry. Yeah.
When I told you, Micah, at dinner, I was like, hey, do you know it spelled Chicago? And you were like, oh, I want the rest of the letters.
Well, because at that point, I was like, if it's random and it's just any of the 26, I'm not going to try and catch all 26 here.
Would they have had all 28 if...
There's only 26 in the game,
Gen 2,
I believe.
Yes, because exclamation mark and the question mark are Generation 3.
Yep.
Which were in the original image. So if you look at the original image, I think you can use that as a really good basis for future images of they showed Heracross and they showed Unknown. And those were the 2 rare Pokemon at the event.
The only 2 rare Pokemon.
And they were spawning pretty frequently. And I think that's fine. I don't know, Irene, what did you think of like only having those 2 rare Pokemon?
I was expecting them to have more. But again, I don't really know what
you
I was
think like $25 is fine to guarantee that you're walking out with. Pokemon you can only get in Brazil and the southern tip of Florida and Mexico. And the rarest Pokemon in the game right now, which is unknown.
Yeah, I would say. I think at that point, for a lot of people, it was like, I just want these 2 Pokemon so I can leave.
I actually said I would really only be happy at that point if I could catch... I had already caught a Heracross. I just wanted to catch an unknown. I didn't catch one until after we left at like 7 o'clock.
That's the other thing is when I got back after uploading the video, we got another producer meeting for the, in the media tent. I'm probably getting my times wrong, but this was the meeting where it was just to let you know, everything is still planned for the rest of the day. The mystery event, aka the legendary event, is still planned for 6 o'clock. We're still going to go through all the challenges. We're still working to get the cell providers up. We're still working on the game. So, you know, just go through as normal. We understand that this is really frustrating. We're still planned for the rest of the day, though. And then the next conversation we had with the producer was, what we're doing now is we're extending Heracross and Unknown in a 2-mile radius outside of Chicago.
Well, the way he put it was they're extending everything for the GoFest,
yeah,
whatever applied.
But let's be honest, people only cared about Unknown and Heracross at that point.
But also the spinners, the Pokestops that let you scan the QR code.
You're right,
were also extended.
People were having trouble scanning the QR codes there, so they could go outside the event and scan any of the stops.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's kind of nice. They also, I believe, extended the range for what activated the to hatch eggs. So it made hatching them faster. Go ahead.
Yeah, the distance for 2K eggs ended up being 0.7 kilometers, but I'm pretty sure that was because there were three tiers for the challenges.
Yeah.
It was bronze, silver, and gold, and gold was the one that unlocked the mystery challenge or whatever. But I actually wanted to mention, I don't think if any of you saw it, I'm also not sure if it's real, but apparently they changed the numbers, the milestone numbers for each tier because it wasn't working. And it was up on a screen, and someone got a picture of it.
Oh, all right. I didn't see that.
Of them changing the numbers. I saw it on Slack, but I'm not sure.
We talk about the raids real quick, because what was really cool, and this was before the disappointment set in, is at about 9:45, there were Pikachu raids. There were 3 Pikachu raids, and they were 15 minutes long. And I was like,
I think all of the raids were 15 minutes
long.
Yeah,
all the raids were, yeah. Which was really smart. To be like, okay, 15 minutes, you know, get 20 people. Every one of these raids will be accomplished because of how many people are there.
Yeah.
Minus the fact that nothing worked, so none of them were accomplished.
Yeah.
But there were Pikachu raids, and I was like, this is really cool. We've never gotten a Pikachu raid. It's probably just a normal, breathtaking Pikachu. But because now Pokemon Go shows you what ball you caught it in, it would be really cool to go, oh, look at this Pikachu. It's in a Premier Ball, which means I did a raid that was only at this event. Like, it is another quote-unquote hat Pikachu, except now it's like a ball Pikachu. It's just cool. It would have been cool to do, but nothing of that worked. And I know I did see, like, Tyranitar raids and stuff pop up, but it was outside the AT&T range that I was getting service in. But that was pretty much for the raids. We get another chat with the producer. This point, it's... I'm kind of jumping. I'll jump ahead, but pretty much Niantic came out on stage. John Hankey. Well, let me back up again. John Hankey was out there all day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you can boo that the games aren't working. You can chant, fix the servers. They don't need to hear that. They know.
Right. They're not unaware of what is
no
happening.
No one at Niantic wanted this event to fail.
I actually said when we were walking, Becky and I were walking through the muddy field, and we were both very disappointed, and she looked even more disappointed because she just wanted to, she couldn't even get into the, she like,
yeah,
it was just crashing constantly. I said, I do kind of feel bad for everybody that was planning this, because it looks like, looking across the park from that field, everything was so incredibly well thought out.
Yes.
Like, the stations look cool. The, like, spawn point stations looked like they would have been cool. Everybody looked like they thought this was going to... And thinking about the trailer that we watched the night before, like, they really thought this was going to be a super fun event.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine the heartbreak behind the scenes when you're like, oh, it's actually... a disaster.
Oh, but you know what's even better, right? Because this is somebody's job, right? They put a lot of work into it as their job, and they're like, I'm working really hard, probably people working overtime making sure, like, I'm going to make sure this is the best event ever. And you know what's going to happen tomorrow? They're going to get yelled at.
Yep.
And it's like, I put in all that extra work, something broke, and now I'm going to get my Bulbasaur handed to me.
Well, here's the thing. Niantic has done dozens of these events all over the world before for Ingress.
Yes.
So John Hankey specifically said when I was, because I got to talk to John Hankey for a little bit, the person, I think it might have actually been Allegra that was in front of me, and I forget what question she asked, but the response was, we just had an event in Japan for Ingress that was 10,000 people that worked flawlessly. And so if you're Niantic and you do the math, okay, just double everything we did there. We're going to bring 20,000 people instead of 10,000. So this is what we had at the event. Just double that.
That double doesn't work. No.
It's like cooking. You can't
it's
double
a bit more sophisticated.
It's like if you want your steak cooked faster, you just increase the temperature half the time.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely.
That always works.
Here's a trick, kids. If you want more Wi-Fi, doubling the number of access points doubles the amount of interference between those two access points.
There it is.
Doesn't work like
inside
that.
Inside tips.
But they've proven that they can do big events like
yes.
this. Between his announcements that he did, he was literally sitting on stage all day just talking to fans and talking to people, and that's so respectable. That's like a lot of people would hide behind the curtain or be back there yelling at their employees, like, fix this. And even I heard him say at one point, all this technical stuff, I don't understand. So I trust my team that they're doing the best work that they can do. There's nothing more I can say.
What a humble slam against his team. He's I didn't know anything. Those dudes who messed it up.
Well, what are you going to go back there and tell them? Fix the internet? They know to fix the internet.
I definitely have a lot of respect for that guy after yesterday, after seeing him sitting on the stage and talking to people and being involved when it was a mess and trying to like boots on the ground, talk to people who were upset and try and make them feel better about it. Even though it didn't really help too much.
It helped for those people that took the time to meet him.
Yes.
I think it absolutely helped those people.
I mean, didn't help in terms of the service didn't get any better. But yeah.
So long story short, pretty much they were not able to solve the problem within the time frame of the park. I think it was about 4:30 when they decided to throw in the towel completely on it. So they announced this earlier, but I'm just going to sum it up all in one because pretty much they repeated the same thing at 4:30 with the addition of we're kind of done for the day.
Yes, exactly.
But the John Hankey came out in the afternoon, and the first thing he said is, we understand, this was before they threw in the towel, but we understand that we're still having connectivity issues. We are still working extremely hard to fix it as fast as possible. But what we're going to do is we're going to refund everyone's ticket to get in. And the crowd erupted in cheers. They were very excited for this. And I was like, that's really humble. Like, to me, if they didn't refund the ticket, me walking away with one unknown and one hair across and meeting all the people there, that was worth it to me.
I was pretty consistently this is not worth it to me. I was prepared to put up a fight to get a refund for my ticket.
Sure.
See, I wasn't in that boat. Irene, you didn't pay any money because I bought your ticket, but how did you feel at that point?
I thought it was smart. I felt really bad for the people that went and spent all their, they bought their tickets off eBay and stuff because it's well, that sucks because I still spent.
I don't necessarily feel bad about it.
But Irene, you and I saw, I think you were with me, this one guy who was just furious. And he said, I spent $300 on my ticket. I took off work today. I'm going to lose $250 for my work. And I paid so much for the parking. And these people are messing me over and everything. And I was thinking to myself, I was like, these are all choices you made. It was a $30 ticket for, what you should have expected.
9-hour event.
Yeah. I still feel bad, though.
I have a hard time feeling bad for people who paid scalper prices, but
I mean more the people that more the people that traveled and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, that I totally, yeah. definitely. I mean, they, like you said, there was somebody who flew all the way from Germany.
Yeah.
There was a guy I talked to that came from Brazil, and he was actually, one of the things he said was he was hoping that when they said, they teased international Pokemon that there would be more than Heracross because he gets Heracross where he lives, so he didn't care.
Yeah.
So, but kind of what I'm saying is like, be mad that or angry because things didn't work out, but don't necessarily be mad at Niantic because you spent $550
or you decided not to work that day.
Yeah.
And because you didn't work, you didn't make $250.
Yeah.
Like, that's not Niantic's problem at all. So then the second thing that John Hankey said after the refunds, which seemed to go over very well with the audience, is that they were going to credit everyone there with $100 worth of Pokecoins in the game. I think there was louder cheers for that.
Definitely.
It was very, very happy. So this is kind of where the scalpers get a little bit screwed, because when you got the wristband, you had to go to PokemonGoLive.com/wristband, and you had to register an email address, your phone number, and then your name. And you did this right, Micah?
Yep.
And so when I did it for Will and my mom and Irene, I put their email addresses in and their phone numbers, and then everyone's emergency contact was me. Not that that mattered, because that was only for the kids, but you had to fill it out anyways.
Yeah.
Even if you paid $300 for a ticket, which you shouldn't have.
Yes.
You're getting $100 of in-game credit, which I think is smart from a marketing aspect because it really doesn't cost them any money, but it also ensures that their hardcore fans, 20,000 people that really liked Pokemon Go, kind of gives them incentive like, okay, today was a bummer, but I have this in-game cash now, and that's going to keep me playing. And while there were some people that walked away really angry, and no matter what they said, what they did, I don't think they would have been happy regardless.
Yeah.
I think those two announcements there fixed a majority of the day for people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, not everybody, but I think.
But also, like I said, there was nothing that he could have said that would have made everyone happy.
Right.
But that's true. But I think also the last announcement we got at the press conference also helped a tremendous amount.
Which was the extension, the 2-mile extension?
No, the time extension.
Oh, yeah. So originally, so the third part of that was we're refunding your tickets, we're giving you $100 worth of Pokecoins, and we're extending the radius for 2 miles. And then when we re-had this conversation with the producer at like 4:30, it was, okay, here's what's happening. We're pretty much done for the day. Everyone in the park can continue being in the park till 7. The event will still go.
Keep in mind at this point, there had been no discussion of the like final big challenges.
Yes. Yes.
Right. We heard around like 2 o'clock that the final challenge was still scheduled.
Yes.
You know, people can still hang out in the park, can still enjoy what they can enjoy if they can connect. We are going to extend Heracross Unknown and the 2-mile radius we said earlier until Monday morning, which for people who are, you know, staying into Chicago Saturday night into Sunday or Sunday into Monday, that's really awesome. There were a lot of people that left on Friday night or Saturday night, I should say, which don't get to take advantage of that. But if you got your Heracross, you got your Unknown, it's probably, I mean, you're just playing the game at that point.
Yeah.
With those Pokemon. The stops, the eggs, all that stuff works until Monday morning with the 2-hour radius. They also said, we're canceling the 6 o'clock challenge. It was supposed to be Lugia, which was actually a surprise. I thought it was going to be Mewtwo.
Yeah.
I thought for sure. Like, I thought it was a given it was going to be Mewtwo, but...
Lugia's cool.
Yeah, Lugia's cool.
I'm
like
surprised
Lugia.
How many people cannot say Lugia, right? I shouldn't be talking as somebody who butchers Pokemon names, but...
But even the producer of the event mispronounced it.
Yeah.
Wait, what did they what say?
He called it Lugia.
Oh.
Oh, really? Not Lugia?
Yeah.
That's weird.
That's a G. G.
Lugia?
Yeah. He was so nice, though. That's not like a... I like when people say Pokemon... My mom... What did my mom call Sudowoodo?
Your mom called Sudowoodo...
Scootaloo?
Scootaloo?
Scootaloo. She also called Doduo Dudo.
She called Whomper or... She called Whooper
Whomper.
Whomper.
Yeah. I think she actually nicknamed her Whooper Whomper.
All right.
Which is also really good.
I want to get my mom on the show one day. She was
not having the...
It should just be an hour of the two of you saying Pokemon names.
Oh, she called... I remember she called Vaporeon Vipermon.
Yep. Vipermon, yeah.
Irene
said, what did she call Scyther?
She called Scyther Slytherin, and then 2 seconds later, she was like, oh no, that's from Harry Potter. And I was just like, oh.
When we were in Target, she called Vaporeon Vaporman.
Which is really good.
It's really good, too.
It's like the best meme.
These are all good nicknames. You can name your Pokemon. And then they said that Lugia was supposed to be the 6 o'clock, and because Team Mystic won the challenges, that Articuno was the other bonus Pokemon for the night.
There were multiple people when I was walking around at the end of the day that said the reason that Mystic won is because the Mystic tent is the only spot in the park that had consistent service. And I said, there's no way that's true. And I went over there. Instantly, I had service, and I could play
really?
The game.
It was, yep. It was in a corner.
I was in a Tyranitar raid. I caught a Lapras.
It was, in a corner, and it was, the corner that faces Millennium Park.
Yeah, yep. It was the farthest tent away was the Mystic. See, I stopped going to Mystic because as soon as I got into that open, muddy field, I didn't have any service. Yeah. I had no service on my phone.
It was the only spot that was consistently you could get in, and
so I guess if I would have kept walking, I would have reconnected.
Yeah.
The other bonus that we didn't mention is that because the legendary raid, the 6 o'clock mystery challenge was canceled, that everyone who scanned a QR code would get Lugia in their account for free, which is cool, which is great, but mm-hmm. also it's like, I just got this. I feel like a lot of moments in Pokemon Go is like, I remember exactly when I got Hitmonchan. Yeah. I remember my first raid. I remember... doing a Charizard raid. I remember doing a Venusaur raid and having old people threaten to call the cops on me because we parked in their parking lot. I like remember getting Lantern for the first time with Micah when we were on bikes. Like getting Pokemon at certain points in time is like the appeal. So to have something appear doesn't feel...
Yeah. It's not the same experience at all.
And even more than that, right? People were hyped up by that video.
Yeah.
It was like, we're going to have 20,000 people raiding simultaneously. It's going to be so boss.
We watched the video and Irene was like, this looks so cool. I can't wait for this tomorrow. And I said, I seriously doubt that anybody's going to be cheering and pumping their fists. And she said, you don't know. Just wait. Whoa. And then when I was standing in line, she texted me and said...
People were cheering and pumping their fists when they got unknown. They were hyped.
All right. By the time I got unknown, I was just like, finally, I can go home.
I'm free.
And then the final announcement, when they were throwing in the towel, they were like, we're going to roll out legendary raids globally in the next 24 to 48 hours. And there were follow-up questions, but the response was, this wasn't planned, but because of today, we just want to get these legendary raids out as soon as possible for people, and that's why we're rolling out globally.
Yep.
So I'm assuming that there was going to be like a week or 2 weeks where only people at Pokemon Go Fest had these legendary Pokemon. Which is fine. Like, a lot of, like, games do that where it's like, oh, you were at the event, you get this early, but we'll give it to everyone eventually. It's just, this is your little early access bonus.
Yeah.
When we were leaving the park at 7, it was probably 7:05, and the first raid popped. And it was, there was no timer to it. It just showed up. It was Lugia, and it had a 2-hour countdown.
Yeah.
So normally raids have an egg, and that egg has a 2-hour countdown before you see what it is, and then you have an hour to complete it.
Yeah.
This was just Lugia spawned, and it was 2 hours, and people were losing their minds.
We were
like, it's like the fest just started.
Yeah, it was like this was the beginning. We were on our way to the ISE meetup, and we saw your tweet that said this Lugia raid popped here, and
we were literally 15 feet from the door to the restaurant.
We were there.
We were there, and then we saw the tweet, and I was like, take my phone. Like,
so the misunderstanding, though, was when Jeff saw the tweet, he said, the Lugia raid just popped at the event, and I was like, Well, we're going back, right?
Well, it was, to be fair, just so clarification, it wasn't at the event. It was near the event. It was at the huge fountain from...
What is that fountain?
That was
Married,
the confusion.
Married with
the
Children.
The Buckingham Fountain, I think?
Yep. Yeah.
Married with Children Fountain.
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
What?
So, that was the confusion, though, because when we got
old
there then...
Old 90s show.
I know what that is.
It's the fountain from the opening in Married with Children.
Flush the toilet.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What's his name?
Al,
yeah.
So
only 90 kids will remember that show.
So when we got back there, I was like, oh, this isn't, because we got a lift. We had just walked all the way to this restaurant.
It wasn't that far. It was like a 15-minute walk.
We got to get over there. So we took a lift that showed up the second we hit it and went back to it. And I was like, oh, it's not at the event. It's outside of the event. And then I looked around in the game and I was like, oh, they're everywhere.
Yeah. So does what happened for me make you feel a little salty about that lift?
What happened?
Or do you not
you?
Realize what happened?
No, what happened?
So Steve and I were walking from the exit, right?
Yeah.
And we passed the Fountain Lugia.
And I was like, we should do this, but we should also get to the event because that's important.
No, you said my phone is at 5%. There's no way I can do this
that's
raid.
True.
I'm just going to the restaurant.
Right. But also at that point, I was like, we're getting Lugia in a couple
as
days.
As a distribution, yeah.
So it doesn't matter that much.
So we kept walking down Michigan Avenue, and then we noticed there was another Lugia raid as we were going. And I had 13% on my phone, and Steve was still like, I only have 5%. He left. I stayed.
I told you to stay.
Yeah, I've never done a raid before, so I stayed, and I did it. And it literally took like 3 minutes.
Yeah, it was very quick.
And got that done. And so I was like, oh, I got Lugia first out of everybody. Get wrecked, whatever, you all. I kept walking towards the restaurant. A Lugia raid popped directly across the street from the restaurant.
Yep.
And I got my second Lugia, like, just sitting outside before I walked in.
And I walked. That's when I had battery then. And I was like, okay, I don't feel bad. Because all these people came out to the meetup.
Yep.
But I was like, I told them all, there's a Lugia raid right across the street. We all just ordered food. So
yeah, I didn't even cross the street.
We're still waiting for the food. So we crossed the street, did the Lugia raid. It took like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
We walked back and it was fine. It seemed like, and there's no clarification on this as of we're recording, if you scanned a QR code, it was pretty much an instant catch.
Oh,
it was an instant catch.
One ball,
that's it.
And it seemed people that didn't scan the QR code, it was dark red for them.
Yeah.
Because there were people in Slack from like Seattle and from like Pennsylvania, and they were saying that it was almost impossible to catch, and no one in their groups were catching them.
So it could have also, wait, that were in Chicago? Or
Pennsylvania and Seattle.
Yeah, the legendary spawns are everywhere.
Everywhere, it was global.
So it could have been that it was the 2 mile radius was just
instant
catch.
I don't think so, because there were people at those raids that couldn't catch them as well.
No, the one that we went to at Buckingham Fountain, they said there was a guy there that said he couldn't catch it. So
right, which doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Unless it only makes sense if he didn't scan a QR code.
Yeah.
Which also then doesn't, like, that also kind of doesn't feel good to be like, we're giving you a legendary Pokemon, we're giving you Lugia. By the way, 5 minutes after the event ends, I'm not saying that they shouldn't have done it, because props to them for rolling it out as fast as they did, and it actually worked.
Yeah.
To go, we're giving you this really rare legendary Pokemon. Here are five that you can now see and that you can instantly catch. There's like
without issue.
There's something weird about that. To like, okay, now if I go into a future raid, I'm going to have five Lugias to
do. But when I did the first one, right? There were probably 100 people around, and this dude had his camera on a selfie stick, and he was like, I'm doing a video. It's the first Lugia raid. They did a countdown. They were so pumped.
But out of all the YouTube videos and all the people saying first Lugia raid, who was the real one? How many arrows are in that thumbnail?
But it doesn't matter. It gave people the experience of the legendary raid that they didn't get in the park.
That's true.
Right? Exactly. Well, and that's the same thing that you said, and I said it when we got to the restaurant. As soon as those raids popped, everybody that was upset about the fest suddenly was no longer upset.
Yeah.
I do want to say, as like a PSA though, for that Articuno raid, it was a mess. Like, it was down a street in the middle of downtown Chicago, and there was traffic and people. There were so many people there that had zero mindfulness of the rest of the city. They were standing in the street. They were blocking traffic. They didn't care about anything. There was a truck that was trying to make a delivery. They blocked the alley so he couldn't get out. He was screaming at people to move. Everybody ignored him. Nobody moved. No, everybody was like laughing about how cool it was that they were blocking everything.
Where was the spot that was blocking? Like, how is it overflowing into traffic? What was it?
It was a side street. No, it was a side street. It was at a gym that was, I guess, a theater right down the street from Buckingham Fountain. And it was not a huge street like Michigan Avenue was. It was a side street. And so it was super easy for everybody to spill into the street. And it was more that the attitude was, look at how cool this is that we're blocking everything because there's so many of us, and less, look at how much of a disruption to the city we're being. And that doesn't bode well for future events when the city is like, you got it. It devolved into chaos. Why would we want this to happen again?
Don't want to be a Milwaukee County park.
Yeah, exactly.
Start removing stops and stuff.
Don't give the city council a reason to get mad about the game.
Irene, can you tell us about the meetup? I mean, you were really the one that planned the meetup. I found a bunch of places. I sent them over to you. I was like, call. Fun fact. If there's any meetup or anything that involves a single phone call, Irene's usually in charge of it.
That is true.
But you were there. You held on the fort at the meetup. You greeted everyone. You got everyone situated. A lot of people actually didn't show up, which is a bit of a bummer, but I totally understood because
there are a lot of people that left early.
Left at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And so they went home for the day. So to come back downtown Chicago, I get it. I understand. But there were some awesome people that came out. Everyone was so nice. But tell us about the meetup.
I don't know. It was really good to see a bunch of people. I got to meet people like Pete, who I've never actually met in real life. But, I mean, the internet. Everyone there was super cool. I remember Shannon was there for a little bit. I think Adam.
I'm really bad with names.
Jeff. There are two Jeffs.
Yeah. Todd was there because we saw Todd.
Yeah, Todd was there.
He's so awesome.
I kept seeing Todd in line while we were zigzagging our way.
Todd was easy to find because he had an ISC shirt on.
Yeah. Yep.
So what kind of restaurant was it?
It was called Burger Bar.
It was really good.
It was a burger bar.
Yeah.
I love burgers.
They had really good food, so I highly recommend it.
This episode of It's Super Effective, sponsored by Burger Bar.
Why were they so willing to set aside half the restaurant for us with no down payment?
Because I'm very charismatic.
Huh?
I guess you worked your magic.
Or is it because their AC wasn't working?
They said something about that. Like, right, they apologized, and she was like, "I'm really sorry. Like, this just happened this morning."
I was like, "They were like, hey, we'll get these suckers."
I actually didn't even notice.
I didn't really notice until
I was so hot at that point.
I didn't notice until I started eating.
All right, so I don't understand because I'm the only person, literally, who ate my entire hamburger and all of my truffle
fries.
Excuse
me, I ate all my food.
Okay.
I did not.
Like, I know Steve only ate half of his burger and none of your fries.
He always does that.
Yeah, that's about usual for me.
This, dude. What was your issue?
let's wrap up here. I talked to a bunch of people at the meetup. I talked to a bunch of people outside the meetup, even random people, and I just asked. Even during the Lugia raid, I was like, did you guys feel the event was worth it? And no, everyone said yes. While it might have seemed on Twitter being terrible, being a disaster, being like Firefest, being like the fest where the kids peed in the ball pit.
Yep.
I don't know what fest that was. I just heard about the issue.
DashCon.
Yep.
I do feel like Twitter kind of blew up in, like, it's not as bad as everyone's making it out to be. Because, again, I'm not saying that people didn't walk away angry. I saw plenty of people walking away angry or disappointed or frustrated. But a lot of people I talked to, they were just like, yeah, this is worth it, despite the issues, like, getting unknown, getting Heracross. The big thing I heard over and over again was just meeting all these people.
doing the Lugia and doing the raids at 7, which was an hour after scheduled, but still seemed to work pretty well. Like, that all seemed really great for people.
That goes right into how I felt about it, though. By 2 o'clock or whatever it was when we went to lunch, I was furious. I was in Potbelly, and people were asking me if I was all right, and I was, like, shouting about how mad I was, about how much of a disaster this was, how frustrated I was for Becky, who I dragged here. And, I mean, she came because she wanted to come, but...
I'm so glad I missed that.
I was super mad. And there was a guy behind us at the table who I overheard say, that guy's blown up about the Pokemon thing. And I was mad. And I left, and I, like, went and walked to Walgreens and, like, took a break and walked it off a little bit. And then at that point, I talked to Becky, and I was like, look, we paid a lot of money for this weekend. We're here.
Well,
we're
you didn't
here
pay a lot of
friends.
Money compared to people traveling
no, you're
from
right.
California.
Absolutely not.
Or, like, you drove.
Absolutely not.
You drove.
No,
so
we
you,
drove. We
you
paid 30. We paid $32 for a parking spot. We paid
gas,
for gas. We paid
food.
$40 to load up our toll thing.
80-cent ponchos.
Got to get those 80-cent ponchos. Got to get... No, and I mean, yes, comparatively, we didn't pay... We paid nothing compared to
the people
who... Lost
$250 because you took the day off work.
And I blew up at Potbelly because they don't have peanut butter and jelly sandwiches
yeah, what's
anymore.
Up with that?
We don't need to talk about that.
So my experience then was after I got upset, I went outside and I walked it off and I talked to Becky and I said, look, we paid a lot to be here. At this point, we just need to make the best of it. We need to make the best of what we have left. Let's try to, like... have fun and try to catch stuff. If we can't, we can't. Let's go look at the rest of the park, because up until this point, the only area of the park that I saw was outside of the media tent where I got service and back in the corner where the porta potties were when Will and I walked over there to try and get AT&T Wi-Fi, and it still didn't work. I walked around, I saw the park. That's when we found out that Mystic had the Mystic tent was the only place that had service. We caught Lapras's, and Becky was, you know, excited to actually be able to catch stuff. At one point, we tried to do a Tyranitar raid and it failed because it booted a million people out.
Yep.
And then from that point on, when we left, we found a Porygon and we found an unknown and we found all this stuff. We found Heracrosses and we started catching stuff. And then the raids popped and that was exciting. We got to the meetup and we were chatting with all these cool people and having a good time. And then, you know, even when we went to the Venusaur raid and it glitched out and I couldn't do that, I was still in a really good mood again. And after that, then we started walking around for the rest of the night until like 11:30 or whatever it was.
Yeah, we probably walked around for about 2 hours.
Trying to catch unknown and just playing the game. And that, it like hanging out with everybody and catching things and having fun, that's what I expected the day to be. And while I was upset that the actual fest was such a disaster, the rest of the day and what we made of it was what made it worth it to me. Being able to see everybody and experiencing the stuff after the fact, my frustration is just that it's a shame that that didn't happen earlier in the day.
Yeah.
That wasn't the festival. That we had to be outside of the festival to have that kind of fun, and that it wasn't taking place inside of the actual park. But by the end of it, I was happy. It was a good day, and for the most part.
So it was worth it to you?
It was worth it after the fact. Eventually, it was worth it. It's hard to say for sure, for me at least, because it's one thing without the other. Without the fest, we wouldn't have been able to do all of the stuff that we did after the fact, but we didn't do any of the thing that we did after the fact at the fest, so it's like... It kind of equaled out, I guess. But I still had a good time by the end of it.
Give me your overall thoughts on the event.
I'm still really not sure. I was thinking about that earlier. Like, I didn't have...
Are you sunburned?
Absolutely. Just all over. I'm just completely red. It's terrible. I got so dark in the sun. Yeah, like, I was really irritated. I don't think I ever got mad during the day. It was just kind of like, this is a bummer. And I felt really bad for a lot of people that weren't able to get the experience that they wanted. I, like, as Micah was saying, I think that the post-fest events redeemed the rest of the day. Even it kind of just resolved a lot of the, like, disappointment that I had. I think I was disappointed in the fest rather than
yeah, that's,
anything else.
That's, I mean, that's a good way to say it. Like, I'm not mad at Niantic. I wasn't chanting,
well, you were
fix
mad at
the
one
game.
Point.
Yeah. Oh, I was mad, but I was mad because of how disappointed I was in how shot the day was. It wasn't that I was upset with Niantic, because I don't know enough about it to know whose yeah. responsibility it was.
I don't think we said this, but I want to be clear that the main issue was actually just connecting to your service provider. There was very few instances where the game actually didn't work.
Right. Unless it was crashing constantly.
Yeah. But that could have been a data exchange, right? So if you couldn't exchange the data, the game's like, I'm going to give up.
Yep.
It was mostly the actual cell service, because when I was on Wi-Fi, it worked flawlessly the entire time. There was maybe only 10 minutes on Wi-Fi where it just wouldn't load. And I bet that's when they were forcing or switching servers or pushing the updates they were trying to do to fix the game. The clear issue seemed to be internet service providers.
I don't know. When I was able to connect with my LTE, I am on Sprint, like, I was fine, but then my game...
Well, you know, they were
like,
a sponsor
like
of the show. Well,
I couldn't, like, my game was just bugging. Sometimes I would be connected to Wi-Fi and my game wouldn't load. And sometimes it would be loaded, but then I couldn't click on anything. Or I could click on something, but then it would just sit there and freeze.
I mean, it could have been a 50-50. Like, the service provider, the cell service providers and the authentication servers might have been at the same time, like, yeah, having issues contributing. And then that becomes exponential.
Irene, I drag you everywhere. If they do another Pokemon Go Fest in, you know, Nevada.
They would never do Nevada. I don't think so.
Las Vegas?
Watch them do Nevada now.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, Vegas is dope.
Would you go to a
so
second one?
Yeah, I would definitely go. I would go. Because I think that it can't be as bad as what happened yesterday.
I agree.
Like, I think we're on an upswing. So
we said that yesterday, too, and we were like, well, if they do another one, who would go? And I was like, well, this is their first one. They're obviously going to learn from this.
Yeah.
I think people are understanding enough to kind of...
Some.
Yeah. Sorry. And if you're not, like, okay, well, you
Will,
must be sad.
Give me your hot take for the day.
I mean, it was interesting for me, especially because this is like such an abnormal travel thing for me. It was like, it was so last minute that I would like arrived in Chicago on the same day. My expectations weren't too high because I'm not a hyper Pokemon Go player. I'm super casual about it. Really, I'm not so worried about completing my Pokedex or anything like that. So I recognized the disappointment in I had expectations of seeing not necessarily like special Pokemon, but like that having the challenges be fun and interesting things to do. You get new kind of games to play with the people that were there that would make it special. And like none of that happened. Would I do it again? It depends on the cost and the effort that it takes, right?
Can you've been to like nationals and regionals and stuff like that. Can you compare the two for people?
Actually was talking to somebody about that, and I think the big difference is at like US internationals now, it's really people who are dedicated to TCG and VGC and have put a lot of time into that, and it's not as diverse of a crowd. I mean, you're not getting a lot of older people in the TCG and VGC area, where in Pokemon Go, you've got that full range of ages. Kids to, like, your mom, who's older than me, who are really invested in it, and I think that's more of a focal point for them, that they've just, like, they are... Pokemon Go is everything. So I think that's what kind of created more of the tension for the event. But also, this was probably about 5 times larger than any national championship, right? National championship is about 4,000, 5,000 people. You have to earn your way in.
There's also really nothing to do at those events. As weird as that is,
dude,
to say.
You hang out in downtown Indianapolis.
Yeah, you do, but like... They don't even usually bring official Pokemon Center stuff there. It's like when I talked to Kid Stark, who went to US whatever they're calling it,
Internationals.
Internationals,
I was like, did they bring Pokemon Center this time? Because they do bring Pokemon Center to Worlds.
Yes.
And he was like, no, it's all third-party vendors selling stuff from China. And I was like, why are they missing that opportunity? And, like, I don't want to buy that stuff. And then when you're there, you're either competing all day, and it's exhausting.
Yes.
And you're lucky if you're going to get a lunch, and you're usually behind schedule. And there are side events, which are fine, but some of those cost money to enter.
Yes.
And besides that, there's nothing to do. So at least, even everything was broken, I still felt like there was, like, I could still connect to Wi-Fi, I could still catch Pokemon here, or I could walk just two blocks outside of the event, and I could still actually play Pokemon Go normally.
Yeah, yeah. And I think actually what I didn't get across clearly was at U.S. Nationals or at a regional, the people who go to those are Pokemon fans. They just, they
there's
love...
a lot of TCG players that don't
really
know. Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree.
I
with
just
that.
Because when I think of like Pokemon Go, because
a lot
of
the TCG players are like ex poker players or like Magic the Gathering players, and so they're like, I didn't know this Pokemon. Anyway, that's a different conversation. But continue.
Yeah, because I just think like there's a lot of people who are Pokemon Go players who don't care as much about the Pokemon.
I would agree
but
with
more
that.
About the Pokemon Go game.
Yes, I would agree.
And
with that.
That changes the nature of the crowd.
I would almost say that's evidenced by just playing Pokemon Go in Milwaukee. How many moms that don't know anything about Pokemon are just hanging out at raids?
And that's a longer conversation I think we could have. And I think we all knew that Pokemon Go players are a different type of Pokemon player. And that's good or bad. I think it's good overall because now they're getting introduced in the franchise, and hopefully that leads them down a road to, you know, enjoy the anime or to maybe pick up the card game or... Pokemon is this franchise. It's just not one single thing.
Yes.
And I think that's what our show does really well, is that we're acknowledging all aspects of the franchise, and there are Pokemon-specific shows that tackle specific topics, and that's fine, and that's great. But we're all here because we love Pokemon as the franchise, and just not because of Pokemon Go, not because of the main series game, not because of the anime.
You asked that question, didn't you, at one point?
Yeah, so we'll end with this. I got to talk to the CEO of Niantic. I waited in line. It probably took maybe 45 minutes to get up there. But I asked him two questions. I got a picture with him. I'm probably not going to post the picture because it's kind of bad. It makes me look bad. Got like a weird neck thing going on. I wasn't happy with the picture afterwards.
Photoshop, dude.
But I asked if this was the last Pokemon Go Fest event, and it's kind of a dumb question because, of course, it's not, but I wanted to hear it from the CEO if he was willing to answer it, and he was. He didn't hesitate. He was like, today was really disappointing, but we're not going to let us stop that from improving and doing this again in the future. And he said, you know, we still have our Safari event planned in Europe. We still have the event planned in Japan, the Pikachu outbreak.
Pikachu virus.
I actually talked to some people who are like planning to go to Europe for the Safari Zones and planning to go to the Yokohama Pikachu outbreak.
So he's like, we still have those planned. Earlier on stage, he did say that they did plan on doing this again next year. They didn't say date or place or whatever. They just said that they wanted to do it next year, which leads me to believe that after the Japan event, that'll probably be the rest for big events. The second question I asked was how he felt that Pokemon Go has captured a bigger audience than the main series games could ever do. Mm-hmm. And I think this is an important question for a lot. I wasn't expecting an in-depth answer or anything, but I think it's an important question for all Pokemon, for the entire Pokemon fan base to think about, because you have 20 years of Pokemon, you have 7 generations of games, and of course their main goal, I would assume one of their main goals is to get more and more people to play Pokemon with each generation. Generation 1 is easily the most popular because it was such a such a viral outbreak at that time. It was a Pikachu outbreak at that time.
Such a virus.
Generation 2, very popular. I think Generation 3 and 4 were kind of the low points. And then with 5, and then I think 6 did better than 5, and I'm pretty sure 7 is still on track to do better than 6. They still didn't capture
what Pokemon Go has captured with, you know, getting my mom to play and getting, you know, your wife to play, Micah. And so what his answer was he pointed at my phone and he said, the reason we were able to accomplish that is because of this. Everyone has a mobile phone. Everyone can download this game for free. Anyone can play. And because of that is why we're in more players' hands than something like the main series game.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not, I think that's very important.
Yep.
That was the event. If they do another event this year, cool. I would love to try to go to it. Yeah. I would love to go to the Europe stuff and the Japan stuff, but those are expensive tickets.
That is very true.
So I can like we said time and time again, totally understand why people left that mad, especially if they spent like $1,000 on a flight.
Yeah.
For me, it was spending, you know, $32 to park and then however much $4 or $5 in gas to get down here and an hour and a half of my time. Maybe my tune would be different if it was a $200 flight.
Yeah. But, probably.
But even for the people that stayed, it sounded like the Friday night before was incredible to play Pokemon Go. There was lures everywhere and people were playing all night. That blew up social media that Chicago just quote unquote lit.
Yeah.
So,
and it was all for people who didn't live there. It was all new stops. So if you had a lucky egg, it was like 500 XP a stop, and they were nonstop everywhere.
Yeah. I think the overall message is, like, while the fest itself was a disaster and a bummer, and Niantic was extremely apologetic for that, and they were extremely upset with themselves for that, and that's, you know, those were words right from the producer that was talking to Will and I at the time. They were so sorry this happened, but for a whole weekend of the Friday night with Chicago just blowing up with lures and new people and everyone walking around playing, and then while the Saturday, most of the day was a disappointment, that evening seemed to be a big success. And then if you're still in Chicago for Sunday, that event extends throughout Monday morning, so still plenty to do.
And I believe you are taking advantage of that, correct?
Yeah. I'm going to head back to Chicago. It's only an hour and a half. Throw on an audiobook.
Yep.
Walk around.
Try and find that unknown O.
Yeah, I'm missing one unknown. and I think I would have better success doing a bunch of raids while all those players are down there.
Yeah.
I could probably go downtown Milwaukee and maybe get one or two or whatnot, but I think because there's still so many Pokemon players there, on top of just how many people are in downtown Chicago, it'll be very easy to like accomplish what I want to accomplish in a shorter amount of time.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if raids in Milwaukee are still for people who went and scanned their QR code, if they're still instant catches.
Yeah.
I guess that doesn't really matter too much because they're going to go away.
Yeah.
So
by tomorrow.
Well, that's that. That is Pokemon Go Fest. We will be back next week with a normal episode. And if my audio from all the interviews I captured sounds good, you guys will probably get a bonus episode this week. I know I talked to Reversal and Trainer Tips and Twintendo. And it was funny when I talked to that guy, I was like, I'm going to be honest, man. I haven't seen a single one of your YouTube videos. And he just laughed. He was so nice. He just laughed. He's like, totally understand. There's so much content out there.
Yeah.
But there I plan on checking out his stuff. So got a couple interviews there. So hopefully that sounds good. If you don't hear about it ever again in the future, it's probably because the SD card got corrupt or it just sounds awful. Who knows? I hope, though, it turns out for you guys. But I think that'll be it. You can follow us on Twitter. A little bit of house cleaning.
No.
Will is at Wash in the Sink. Micah is at Micah the Brave. Irene, she's like falling asleep during this podcast.
No, I'm not. I'm wide awake. Just everyone said everything I wanted to say. So I was just like, okay.
Dag, sorry for stealing your content.
Get in here. You got to get in. Come on in.
Devin Carrots on Twitter. Was there anything that we...
Nope.
No. Do you want to talk about the goat now?
What? Oh, no.
I'm sure that this when you like mentioned the goat like an hour ago, people were like, oh, wait, I want to hear about the goat,
this
man.
This is the bonus post-credits
scene.
Yeah,
if they made it this far, they get to hear about the goat. Let's hear about the goat.
It was when Steve ditched us to do the media tour.
Appropriate term.
And we were standing there waiting for him to come back. And I turned around and there was a man in, I think he was wearing a yellow coat or something like that.
It was like sewn together rags.
Yes.
And he had a billy goat. Is that a billy goat?
I think it's a billy goat.
It was a goat. It had horns. It had horns.
I know it had horns because we saw it in the line by the fountain. And that goat was real upset and wanted to get out of there and like plowed into a guy that was in the line.
Oh my gosh.
And just took off. He was still on the leash and the guy had the goat, but the goat was clearly like dragging the guy out of the
They were patiently standing when I saw them, like, next to the street, and I was just like, am I dreaming? Why is there a man with a goat?
Yeah.
So I took a picture, and I tweeted it, and people liked it, so
that was my
highlight.
That's the world-famous Chicagoat.
The Go-Goat.
Pokemon No Fest.
Pokemon Brokemon.
Brokemon Go.
That's what you said yesterday, which is really good. There's a goat Pokemon, right? Go-Goat?
Go-Goat.
Yes, sir.
Go-Goat. Is the Go-Goat the only goat Pokemon?
Skidoo.
But that's...
Scootaloo.
Technically, the trio from Black and White are also kind of goats.
Oh. Aren't they horses?
They've got horns.
Aren't they horses?
No, Keldeo's the only horsey one, but he was
I thought
adopted.
Keldeo was a pony.
He's adopted. It doesn't matter. Oh, he doesn't have to be a goat.
I see.
But you don't call baby goats ponies, so therefore they're horses.
Yeah, but he just
hoses.
He just said those Keldeos like adopted, of the family.
Okay, I see. So it was a Pokemon Go Fest, and it was a goat. So I feel like Go Goat is probably the best.
There you go.
Comparison.
Yeah. Also, real quick, I didn't notice this when I took the picture, but you know the merchandise board.
Yeah.
With all the things.
With the black tape covering all the stuff they sold.
They spelled Eevee wrong.
Good. How do they spell it?
E-V-E-E.
Nice. Evie.
Evie.
Good old Evie.
Oh, I was like, wait.
What did they have that was Eevee?
There was a shoulder Eevee plush.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Were they selling the Magikarp hats there? I saw a bunch of people with in-game Magikarp hats.
All the people with Magikarp hats, they were all like custom, probably Etsy things or something like that.
Got it.
I think that's a wrap, though. Oh, I didn't say. You can follow me on Twitter at Dragging a Lake. And you can follow Pokemon Podcast on Twitter at Pokemon Podcast. If you were confused or still wanted more details about what happened, I think I summed up a pretty good live tweeting of the event on Pokemon Podcast. And, you know, kind of I was delivering news as fast as I was getting it at the event. If there's another Pokemon Go Fest in the future, I think we'll be there and I'll be doing the same thing, hopefully. Patreon.com/itssupereffective if you want to support the show. We will probably be doing a live stream on August 5th, which I believe is a Saturday, to celebrate our 7th year anniversary. There will probably be something for everyone and then something specifically for Patreon backers for that day. Don't have the details worked out. Next weekend is my first weekend at home in like a month.
And also
it's your birthday.
Yeah.
Can we have like no, we won't sing you happy birthday.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear that.
We don't
want
to violate any copyright laws.
Oh yeah, that's right. I
actually think it ended like last year.
Oh really?
They lost a court case, I think.
Yeah, like last year. So I think it is actually legal to sing it on air.
Good. So you'll be a year older.
Isn't this my golden birthday?
It is your golden birthday.
Oh man.
Look, some of that. Us didn't get golden birthdays.
I did. It was my 18th birthday and it was lit.
I didn't get a golden birthday.
That's your own fault.
How do you not get a golden birthday?
It was a bad year.
Oh no.
But doesn't everyone get a golden birthday?
I mean, it was but there was nothing golden about it.
There's no math that checks out that you don't get a golden
birthday. There's no such thing as a golden birthday in 1975. This is for 90s kids only.
I thought it was turning 25 on the 25th.
My birthday is March 2nd.
Oh.
You had one. You just did.
So yeah, your golden birthday was when you
I didn't get the golden birthday booty.
What?
Like pirate
treasure.
Okay. Oh. Pirate booty. We're going to end the show now. So thank you guys so much for listening. If you made it this far. Thank you, Micah. Thank you, Irene. Thank you, Will. Thank you, myself. This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super effective.
I still...
am broke confused them on go. Because I remember for a while when it was like you say it's super effective and then when you say super effective and I still don't know which you decided on. Is it just super effective?
We're super effective.
Yeah. That, it's just super. It's just not there's
like,
no it's.
Yeah, no, I know. But like, we're be like, it's. We're super, it's because oh, I it's see. The show. Because
it's the show. It's super effective.
Yeah.
I see.
Sorry.
Bye.
Bye.